Good morning, everybody. My name is Dan. I'm the associate pastor here at Epicenter Church. I just want to welcome you guys if it's your first time visiting or if you've been here for a while, just welcome and make yourself at home. Man, worship has been so amazing. I just want to give honor where honor's due. Thank you, Vic, for doing sound today. First time by himself. It was awesome. It sounded good. I didn't have to go back there and tell him to make any corrections or anything. It was it's so good just to see people serving and stepping out and doing things that they're not used to. So, and he also does amazing, him and Aiden on the reels and doing the cameras and everything. And the band has been so awesome. We love you guys so much. So this morning, it's funny, just the theme of worship was the power of God, the power of God. And so that's one of the things I'm talking about this morning, specifically more on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you've probably received it, but there may be people who are new here who haven't received it. Maybe you come from a different type of church where you're not as charismatic, and I grew up in a few different denominational churches, Baptist, Methodist, just multiple things. And so this is just a topic that's really dear to my heart because I feel like when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it just took my walk with God to a whole nother level. It doesn't mean that if you haven't received it that you're any less or anything like that, but I just felt like it just brought me into a deeper intimacy with the Lord. I'm going to talk about power. That's like the main focus today. But I just want to say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I feel like one of the most important things from it is the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. Because before that, I didn't really know anything about the Holy Spirit. You know, I would read about him in Scripture, but there was no understanding there. It was just words on a page. And so after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was just like a veil was ripped from my eyes. You know, I was saved and everything, but it was just, things were so different, I guess you could say. But before I jump into that, I do want to make the distinction between salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, when Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected 3 days later, it was on that same day that he was resurrected, later in the evening, that he was meeting with the disciples. And so, at that time, he was with them, and in John 20, verses 21 through 22, if you could put it on the screen, Christine. It says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So this right here is the disciples' salvation experience. This is when they were officially, technically saved, when the Holy Spirit came and made his home inside of them. In the same way as in Genesis, when God breathed into Adam and gave him life, Jesus breathed into the disciples and gave them eternal life because of what he did on the cross, because of his resurrection through the Holy Spirit, bringing them back up. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. He lives inside of you. You're saved. He's your seal of salvation. You're marked. You're saved. He lives inside of you. It's like a cup. You're that cup. You're a vessel, and you filled that cup, and so you're filled with the water. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have him living inside of you. You can hear from the Holy Spirit. But now, even though that they had the Holy Spirit in them, even though he breathed on them, Jesus still told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And so in Luke 24:49, it says, "Behold," and this is out of whenever Jesus was with the disciples after he resurrected, he was on the earth for 40 days with them, teaching them. This is on day 40 before he ascended. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And also in Acts 1:4-8, it shows the same story. It goes a little bit deeper, though. And it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be empowered to be a witness everywhere you go. It's not just to have an encounter. It's not just to, for God to fall on you and then, you know, you go about your day. No, it's to empower you to be a witness everywhere you go. And so we see this event play out. Jesus is ascended, and then 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, it's in Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when this happened, the Holy Spirit came upon them just like Jesus said it was going to happen. Just like he said that the promise of the Father would come. If you tarry in Jerusalem, he's going to come. And so he came and he empowered them. They spoke in tongues. People heard them in their own languages. And Peter goes on to preach and tells them, explains to them what happened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people get saved instantly. And so, like I said, the whole purpose of this is to be empowered to be a witness. Everywhere we go, whether we're in the grocery store, whether we're at McDonald's, whether just anywhere we go, we're empowered to be a witness. And so I just want to give you just a short testimony of what that can look like in your life. Now, this story, it was on a mission trip, but I want you to know I do this everywhere. It's not just on a mission trip. I felt like the Lord just really put this story on my heart to share today, and so that's why I'm sharing it. But it's not just for other countries. It's here. You can do it everywhere you go. It's for Sugar Land. It's for Fort Bend County. You can be a witness. You can move in the power of God. You can partner with the Holy Spirit. And so this was back in 2015. At the time, I had only been praying for people for about a year and moving in the prophetic for maybe 3 months. And so I was still new to hearing the voice of God, but I was still eager just to step out because I wanted to see God move. I wanted to see people have an encounter with God. And so in 2015, I was on a mission trip to Nicaragua. This was the second time I went. The first time was in 2012. I hadn't been walking in the power of God, but it was still amazing. So if you don't know anything about Nicaragua, it is hot. It is the same weather that we have here during the summer is the same as Nicaragua. It's hot. It's humid. It's not fun at all. And so the thing about Nicaragua is it's an extremely poor country. There is no AC. Some places have AC. Very few places have AC. There is a chicken place that I would go in just to sit there. I mean, I would pay for food and stuff, but I would just go there just so I'd be out of the heat, you know? And so the first half of the trip, we were with a missions organization. We were there for about a week overall. And so the last 3 days of the trip, we actually, our church partnered with a Spanish school. They weren't Christian at all. They were just like a Spanish immersive school, basically. And so the school provided housing. And so there was different families and houses that we would stay in. And the people that I was with, you know, we were all split up into twos and stayed in a house. I was the only one who didn't get paired. So I was in a house all by myself. And so my wife, Alicia, back then we were dating. She was paired with someone and, man, her house is awesome. They had AC. I was like, where's my AC, you know? They had AC. They had a nice shower. Like, you know, it wasn't the fanciest home, but for Nicaragua, it was fancy. And so me, on the other hand, oh, man, I was used to it because I'd been before, but, you know, you still pray that God would give you something good. But I made the best out of it. And so there was no AC. My shower was a water hose hanging from the wall. One morning I woke up, I was about to put my pants on, and there's a baby scorpion in my pants. So, yeah, and I wasn't inside of a house. It was sort of like almost in a backyard area. There was like a shack that I was basically in. They had like a ceiling fan, so at least there was a breeze, but it was basically just like wide open. It was an experience. But anyways, so it's me staying there by myself with this family. It was about a family of five. And then there was two other girls that were part of the Spanish school. They weren't affiliated with the mission trip at all. They were just there learning Spanish and, yeah, just having that immersive experience. And so one girl was from somewhere in Europe. I'm not exactly sure, maybe Sweden. And then another girl was from Canada. And so the first day that we're there, we're all at the table eating breakfast. And, you know, I don't really care for small chat, especially when it comes for healing and stuff like that. I just go straight to the point. Alicia loves to talk to people and, you know, try to bait them in. I'm just like, hey, do you have any pain in your body, you know? And then I'd be like, oh, I prayed for people and they get healed, stuff like that. And so that's what I did. I was just like, guys, I know this sounds crazy, but do you have any pain in your body? And they're all looking at me like, what do you mean, do I have any pain in my body? And I'm like, I go around. And so one of the reasons why I'm here actually is to pray for people and to see God heal them. And I've seen healings. I've seen, by this time, hundreds of healings, honestly. And so they're just all looking at me like, oh, you're so crazy. Like, what are you doing? The girl from Europe actually just bursted out laughing at me. And I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, guys, I know it sounds crazy, but I promise you. And so I was naming things off that I had seen healed. Knees, backs, shoulders, just the multiple testimonies. I was just going off. I wasn't going into the detail, but I'm just like, this is what I've seen. And so the mom of the house, she actually said, well, none of us here have pain, but my sister lives a couple miles away, and she's actually going to be here tomorrow for dinner. Her back is really bad. Would you pray for her? And I said, sure, yeah, I'll make sure I'm here for dinner, because, you know, we had the choice to go out and eat if we wanted to. But I said, no, I'll be here. I'll make sure I'm here no matter what. And so the next day comes around, and in the morning, at this time, my morning routine was get my phone out, set a timer for an hour, and I would pray in tongues for an hour. I don't do that anymore. I pray in tongues a lot, but that was just, I'd wake up. At this time, I didn't really drink coffee back then. Now I love coffee. I'm just like, ugh. But yeah, it's probably not a good thing. I probably need to cut it out a little bit. But I would just pray in tongues for an hour. And so I'd pray and I'd feel more sensitive to the Holy Spirit whenever I would do this. And it was just, I saw it as a spiritual exercise. You know, when we exercise, we're building our muscles and stuff like that. And so for me, praying in tongues was just like a spiritual exercise. Like I'm building that spiritual muscle. And so basically, while I'm praying in tongues, I'm still talking to God in my mind with my understanding. And so, you know, I'm just asking him, hey, like, you know, what's up with the sister? What's going on? They said that her back hurts. Like, is there anything I need to know? And he said, yeah, one of her legs is shorter than the other. And I said, okay, awesome. And then, you know, I just asked the Lord, hey, this girl from Canada, you know, what's your heart for her? What's going on with her? And I don't know why I felt led for her and not for the European girl, but I just, God, what's your heart for this girl? And so he said, well, she has a lot of fear and she really wants to be a teacher. But the thing is, I'm the one who put that desire in her heart. So I'm going to make a way for her. I'm going to open the doors for her to be a teacher. And so I want you to tell her there's nothing to fear. The doors are going to open when it's time. And yeah, this teaching thing is from me. So I said, okay. So I went about my day. It's dinner time. And, you know, the sister's there. The girl from Europe wasn't there. I wish she was, because I know what's about to happen. And none of them know what's about to happen. And I really wanted to see the look on her face because she laughed at me earlier. Yeah. And so the sister's there, the girl from Canada's there, the family is there, all of them are just there. And, you know, before she even sits down, I said, so I heard your back is hurt. And she's like, yeah. And I said, well, God told me this is the reason why. You have one leg shorter than the other. And so we're going to find out right now if God was telling the truth or if I was missing it. Because I'm fine with missing it. You know, I'm still new to hearing his voice. And so we put her down. And sure enough, her leg is probably about this much shorter. Wow. And so I make sure they all see it because I want them to see it when it happens. And I want to make sure they don't think I'm pulling it, I'm not pushing it, I'm not doing anything, no funny business at all, I'm just holding it. And so I make sure that they all see it. They're all looking. And I just say, in the name of Jesus, leg grow. And it pops out. And then we command her back to be fully healed, fully restored. And I tell her to check it. And all the pain is gone. Her back is completely healed. They're all freaking out because they see it happening. They see what's happening right in front of their eyes and they're trying to comprehend it. And I'm just laughing in my mind because I'm like, I've seen this a lot of times. I've seen legs grow all the time. It's very normal for me. And so they're still freaking out. And I look over to the girl from Canada and I say, hey, you. I said, the Lord told me that you have a lot of fear because you want to be a teacher. But you need to know that he's opening those doors for you. You don't need to have any fear. I want you to be at peace and that he is going to allow you to come into this job. He's going to allow you to come into this teaching job. It's going to happen. He's going to open the doors. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be fearful. And so she looked shocked, like, how do you know this? Like, you know. Because, I mean, if you think about it, majority of people don't experience this. And that's why it's so important to be able to have the intimacy with the Lord and to move in the power of God. Because everywhere we go, we need to be empowered to be a witness. This can happen anywhere you go. It's not just for Nicaragua. It's not just for a mission trip. You can go and you can pray for people. You can ask the Lord, man, you want to know the key to prophecy? God, what's on your heart for this person? You can buy all the prophetic books. You can go to all the prophetic conferences. But it's so simple. God, what's on your heart for this person? And then you hear and you listen in your heart or in your mind. You hear what he's saying. Maybe he gives you a picture. And you just step out. You're probably going to miss it a few times. I missed it whenever I first started stepping out. But then you start to get it right. And you start to recognize his voice. And you get more confident that you know his voice. And not only for them, but then you start getting confident that you hear it for you as well. And so it helps you in your walk as well as it helps other people in their walks. And so you're empowered to be a witness through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. It's so important to have the power of God everywhere we go. Because, and there's nothing wrong with this. You can go and you can debate people into the kingdom. And that's amazing. I wish I had that ability. I can't. Like, I'm not good at that. I'm not really good with things just coming to my mind like that. Like, when people quote scripture, I'm just like, oh, I wish I could do that. Like, I'm sure I could. Maybe I'm too lazy. I don't know. But that's just, yeah, that's not my gifting. My gifting is not just my gifting. This is for everyone. It's not just me. Is moving in the power of God, loving people where they are, and giving them an encounter with the living God. So that way they don't have to have doubts of, oh, well, this person convinced me to receive Christ, and then never have that one-on-one personal encounter, never encountering the power of God in their life before. And so I want to give people that encounter to where they have no doubt that God exists, to where they know that he's real, because they can look back at that time when he met them. So going back to the story, after the mission trip was over, you know, we went back to Houston, and the girl from Canada found me on Facebook, and so she actually messaged me a few days after the mission trip. Here's the thing, though. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if it's still around, but back then on Facebook Messenger, there's something called filtered or unfiltered messages, and so it went to my filtered section, so I never saw the message. I didn't see it until 2018. Yeah. And so I stumbled upon it, and I read it, and she said, I just want to thank you so much for what you did. I wasn't a believer before, but I am now. I feel a lightness about me. Everything you spoke was just right on. And I just want to thank you so much. So I responded to her. I told her, that's so awesome. I'm sorry I just now saw this. I don't know how this happened. I know it's 3 years later, but, you know, I hope you're doing good. I hope everything is well. And so I clicked on her Facebook page, and I just went to her About section. And earlier in 2018, it said that she became a Spanish teacher at a high school. So God made a way for her to be a Spanish teacher. He opened the door for her, and that was an encounter that she's never going to forget. And so we can do this. We can do this everywhere we go. So I just want to encourage you, step out. Like if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, step out. If you haven't, you will today. If it's something that you want, we're going to have an altar call in a little bit, and you're going to have an encounter with God. He's going to meet you there, and you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able to walk this thing out. You're going to be empowered to be a witness. If you don't want it, it's awesome. It's fine too. Like, there's no pressure with this thing. I'm going to touch on it a bit more, but when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were at a youth camp, and it was like, they just made everyone do it. So I know what it's like to be under pressure. I'm not going to do that. If this is still something that you're not sure of, you're not used to, I completely understand. It's not a big deal. And so with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a couple ways that it can happen. You know, we saw in Acts 2 where they were all gathered and the Holy Spirit just fell upon them. But another way that it happens is through the laying on of hands. And so that's actually how I received it. I was at that youth camp, and, you know, they were just going around laying hands on everyone, getting people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People were praying in tongues. They came to me. I don't even remember who the preacher was or anything, but I just felt a hand on my head, and I felt absolutely nothing. Nothing. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't feel anything. I was just like, what is happening? And this was my first encounter as a believer of tongues. Now, my first encounter as not a believer of tongues was I went to some church, and they were all speaking in tongues and running around, and my mom just grabbed us, and we ran out of the church, and they were trying to stop us and explain, we're like, no, we're getting out of here. And I was maybe like 5 or 6, and we're just running, gotta get out of here. So trust me, like, if you're not used to tongues, I understand where you're coming from. It scared me. I did not understand it. But I'm telling you guys, it's in the Bible. There's a whole chapter dedicated to it, 1 Corinthians 14. I'm not going to really get into that today, but if it's in the Bible, I want it. I want all that God has for me. And so, like I said, I didn't speak in tongues at the time. And then my friends told me, you know, what all happened. Like, they explained more about it because they didn't even teach on it at the youth camp. They're just like, you know, we're going to do this. You're going to speak in tongues. I'm like, okay, like, if you say so. But it didn't happen to me. But in my heart, basically in Luke 11, sorry, Christina, I'm actually skipping a scripture. I'll go back to it in a second. But in Luke 11, 9 through 13, it says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So my friends showed me this, and they said, if you ask and you believe, you can receive. And so I asked the Father. I mean, honestly, I believe when they laid hands on me, I received it. I didn't feel anything, but I'm just going to have that childlike faith. And so I was just like, well, I'm going to ask again, you know. I believe that I had it, but I don't know. I didn't see anything come out of it. It's not a big deal. But by faith, I'm just like, Lord, I'm asking for this again. I feel like I had it because, you know, your word says if they lay hands on you, you'll get it. And so, Father, I thank you for this. And even then, I felt nothing. But I just said, Lord, by faith, I'm going to step out. By faith, I'm going to move my mouth. I'm going to attempt to speak in tongues. And so for me, that's how it happened. I started speaking in tongues. It was just a couple syllables. But then over time, it grew and it grew and it grew, and I got more. And now I know other people who they had an awesome experience, not to take away from my experience, but when I hear theirs, I'm like, man, I wish I would have had that, you know, where, you know, whether they got hands laid on them or God just fell on them, it was like something just bubbled up and it was like their mouth just started happening and it just started pouring out. And it was like, man, that wasn't for me at all. Like, and so for some of you, it may happen today where you might have to step out in faith. God might just bubble up and the tongues just come naturally. Either way, you're going to have to open your mouth because he's not going to force you to do it. And so I do want to take you to scripture because I love scripture. We're going to be in Acts 19, 1 through 6, and it said, "And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" Well, we know that's a yes because they believed on Jesus. But here's the thing. They didn't know that they had him. And so they said to him, "We have not so much as heard as whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus." When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So tongues isn't the only sign that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It can also be prophesying. It doesn't, even if you didn't speak in tongues and you didn't prophesy when someone lays hands on you, believe that you received it. By faith, believe that you received it. Even if you don't feel a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, I fully believe you're going to. Majority of the people I've prayed for, they have felt something. Now, not everyone prayed on the spot, but there have been times where they spoke in tongues as they were in their car driving home. They got away with the Lord when they got home. Other people would get away with the Lord when they got home, turn on worship music, and start speaking in tongues. They were just worshiping him and it just came out. It just flowed out. And then some, they did the same thing, and they just had to step out in faith, like, "God, I believe that I received it. It said if I ask, he'll come. And so I just thank you that you baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and just I'm going to step out, just like Dan did." And so I've seen that multiple times. And so I just want to encourage you today. There's no pressure to speak in tongues when you come up here. If this is something that you want, I'm not going to pressure you into it. God's not going to pressure you into it. But I want you to know, when I lay my hands on you, I 100% believe that you received it. And it's not something that you have to fake. It's not something that you have to work up. God is going to move. The whole service has been about power. So he's coming here in power. He's coming here in power. He's already here. And so I just want to touch a little bit about what happens when you're praying in tongues. In Romans 8, 26 through 27, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So when we're praying in tongues, we're not understanding what's happening. You know, sometimes you can pray and it's in another language. Sometimes it's a heavenly language. We don't know what we're speaking. There have been times where people have actually had their tongues translated and it was a language. I heard a testimony of someone was speaking Hebrew and they had it translated and it was amazing. I tried that. I put it on ChatGPT. I started speaking in tongues and said, "This is an unknown language. I don't know." And I was like, "Let me try again." And then I even said, "I'm praying in tongues. Are you sure this isn't anything?" And then it's funny just to see how it tries to spell it all out. Yeah. But when you're praying in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit praying through you. You don't know what you're praying. You don't know what you're saying. But when you're doing it, the Holy Spirit is moving through you. He's praying through you. When you don't know what to pray, you know, maybe you've prayed in English and you're like, "God, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to pray. I'll just start praying in tongues and I'll pray in tongues and I'll just continue to intercede and continue to press in for God to move." And there's just been nights where I can't fall asleep and I'm like, "Lord, I don't know what's wrong." Like, it's just, yeah, I just feel restless and I'm gonna sit here and pray because I feel like there's probably something on your heart, God. And so I just start praying in tongues, and then after 5 to 10 minutes, there's a peace that comes over the room and I'm like, "Okay, I feel like whatever needed to happen happened, and I'm gonna go to bed," and I just instantly fall asleep. Also in 1 Corinthians 14, 2 and 4, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." So when you're speaking in a tongue, like I said earlier, it's like a spiritual exercise. You're building yourself up. You're building yourself up in the spirit. You're becoming, for me at least, I don't know if it's scriptural or not, but for me, I've just felt more sensitive whenever I pray in the Holy Spirit. I feel sensitive to the Lord. And I just know that there's a difference that happens. There's been times where I've woken up, I've just been tired, I've been weary. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I got a good night's sleep, but there's just like a heaviness on me. And so I would just be like, God, I'm just going to pray in tongues. I don't know what else to do. And sometimes it would take 30 minutes, but that heaviness, that weariness, that burden would just lift off of me. And so when you're praying in tongues, you're building yourself up, but you're also changing the atmosphere. You're more sensitive, but you're changing the atmosphere. If there's stuff going on in the spirit that you don't understand, that you don't know what's happening, pray in tongues because you're changing the atmosphere. God moves when you're praying in tongues. You're praying the will of God. And in Jude 1:20, it also says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So when I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm believing that I'm building up my faith as well. I'm praying mysteries unto God, and then it's allowing me to be more sensitive. And when I'm hearing him, it's building my faith up. Because in that time, I'm still speaking to him in my mind. And when you hear the word of God, you're building your faith. And so I just believe that when I'm praying in tongues, I'm building my faith up because I'm more sensitive to hear his voice and to move and to do what he wants to do. And so it makes me more confident to step out, like with that lady's leg. You know, the leg was short. Okay, I heard you, God. Faith is there. I'm going to move. I'm going to command this thing to come out, and it's going to happen. And so I just want to give another quick testimony. There was a time I was actually at that youth camp again, but it was a few years later. And so there was a girl who was there, and everyone was just worshiping, and she was from my old church, and so I knew her. She knew me. And so I just was praying in tongues. And I just felt like the Lord said, go lay hands on her. And so, you know, I was just praying in tongues, and I went, laid hands on her, didn't think anything of it. And then I stopped, went about my business, you know. And then after the whole service, she came up to me and was like, "Dan, I recognize your voice. I know you were praying over me. You were praying in tongues. I just want you to know, whenever you prayed over me, God healed my knee." I didn't know that she had a problem with her knee at all. Like, she didn't have a brace. She didn't look like she was limping or anything, but God completely touched her knee. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know she got healed. I was just praying in tongues and being obedient. And so you're speaking mysteries. You're praying in tongues, and he's moving through you. Even though you don't know what's happening, God is moving, and things are changing. Healings can be happening. And so we're going to have an altar call soon. We're going to have one for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're also going to have one for healing, if you need healing in your body. When it comes to tongues, though, it's a lot like Peter when he walked on water. What was Peter doing? In the natural, he was walking. The supernatural was it was on water. When you're praying in tongues, you have to move your mouth. That's the natural. You're moving your mouth. You're moving your tongue. The supernatural is the Holy Spirit is praying through you. You don't know what's happening, but he's praying through you. The supernatural is happening. God is moving in your midst when you're praying in tongues. And like I said, if we ask, he will come. And so, Christine, if you could just put the music on real quickly. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want to speak in tongues, if you want to move in the gifts of the Spirit, I just want to ask you to come up.